Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
We've started a journey in our first service on the covenant of high praises. And I mentioned during the message that praise can be weaponized. Praise can be weaponized. There are so many weapons in the Bible, and unfortunately, a lot of Christians have failed to get a grasp of the provisions of heaven for us. So many times we panic. We forget that the solution is already in our house. And today, we want to extray the weapon of praise. All right, so you may need to get the message for the first service. But please permit me to tell you, if you are self-conscious, you cannot glorify God. If there is anything you have, please, I want you to look back like 1 year ago or 1 hour. Where were you? Just look back. Can you imagine the season of why, Lord? When, Lord? Those seasons of God. We need something to eat. Huh? Can you remember some things? Can you remember like 2 years ago, it's like you were despised? It was not the despise that was the problem. It's the fact that the person that was despising you, like you of all people, like Habba. And God is God is not really someone that is in a hurry. You know, he lives in a timeless environment. So he takes his time. Amen. He doesn't really run the way. In fact, God sees haste as a sign that you don't have faith. Say, those who believe shall not. Why? Because what he is doing in your life requires time to construct. Because the scripture says, whatever the Lord shall do shall be forever. Which means once the Lord lays that foundation in your life, nobody can move it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please be patient with God. But I want you to look back. Just journey back. You might realize that, wow, okay, it's not so bad. Yeah. It's not so bad. Your wife is smiling at you more and more now. You owe yourself only one thing in this life. Say one thing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Okay, I think there's something there, but I will not branch. I will just keep going. You know, it's not every woman that smiles at her husband. When that woman said yes to you, she didn't say yes to your today. She was saying yes to your tomorrow. So you better be great. See, if you just have like a 2-bedroom flat, you know, just serve God. It's okay, really. Because, I mean, it's just 2-bedroom. Like, it's God that giveth us peace. But you can choose to have peace from a 1-room apartment or from a... sincerely, you have grown. Like, I can actually live in a mansion now. I'm not ashamed to say it again. Like, it's just a mansion. It's just put just in front of it. It's The thing about working with God is that it's not only your spirit that grows, your mind grows, it expands. And you must understand that when God begins to work with you in a very unique way, you'll be seeing models of Joseph's, Daniel's, and Solomon. And after this session, maybe in another 1 or 2 weeks, I've told the pastors we will start a series on wealth and wisdom. Huh? And I'll be using people that worked with God. I didn't say money. I say wealth and wisdom. There was no money Daniel will have that will make any sense in Babylon. Huh? But there was something Joseph had. And Pharaoh said, "This is my father." Joseph was adopted as the father of Pharaoh. But he was younger. Huh? He said, "I've become like a father to Pharaoh." How is that possible? He's supposed to be happy that they even gave him a second chance. But you see, his wisdom was beyond the nation. The wisdom in his head was beyond. And it was God that put it there. Yes, that's the only problem, that God put it there. It's not the way you have to go through CCNA, CCMP, and all this effect. The little he knew, God gave him the eye to see detail. That's your portion. Amen. The moment people know that inside your head is the wisdom for nations, huh? They will take their citizenship and beg you, say, "Come and be our citizen." And that's your portion. Amen. Okay, some people have not caught it. Alright, since you have not caught it, let's go into spiritual warfare so that we can fight. Some of you prefer to fight. Second, you see, she's getting it. She has the response, alright? You see, the key in the spiritual realm is, once you connect with it, you lock in until it resonates in your spirit. Huh? It's not just one amen like that. Huh? You lock in until your soul says yes. Not just your spirit. 2 Chronicles 20. So this was the story of, let's start from verse 3. I don't know, it's a long read. Let's just quickly run through it. Sometimes you just realize that you come to church, you didn't read the Bible. So let's read this one. All right. Very fast. And Jehoshaphat feared. No. Okay. So before, go back to verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea." See where the spiritual battle came from. From beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Azazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. Next verse. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Do you remember in our first service we were talking about seeking the Lord? Yes, all right. And he sought, set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout where? Judah. Judah, the word Judah means the house of praise. So if you are a praiser, you will know how to fast. Don't be naive. Spiritual people know how these things work. Whether they are on God's side or Satan's side, they know how these things work. House of praise. The Lord said, it is okay to set aside a fast. Was it God that told him to fast? Some things are just common sense. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, "I like the way you fast, but I prefer you live a fasted life." Somebody said, "Ha." If you work in a restaurant where they serve all these cuisines and all these things, may the Lord help you. But especially where you have to taste everything. I like those kind of jobs, yeah. Because you don't really need to eat so much to be filled. Just taste, taste, taste. I just notice you are okay. Somebody is imagining himself in that place. The Lord will not allow you. You want to go and eat. After all this mercy, prayer and fast, you want to go and eat. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. What did they require? They asked help from the Lord. This is a nation consecrated to God. It's okay for you to admit that you need help. You know, some there are things you will face, you just know. Except God helps you. If you have made a presentation to a particular organization, and they tell you, get back to you. So your matter has ended there. It's God that now needs to proceed. Do you know the thing may be approved, but it will be there on the file, on the table for like 6 months. Nobody will see anything. So God needs to create a problem in that company that will make them say, well, but we already approved something. Then they will call in the middle of the night, like 12 midnight, like, I'm so sorry, we are. Please, can you come? First thing, say, I'm not entitled. Say, please, come first thing. You know, when I was going to Benin City, that was last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? When I was going to Benin City for that training with the governor, I was already in Benin City. I was already in Benin City to preach at Benin Church. Then they called me and said, no, you have to fly back to Lagos and then fly into Benin again, same day. Then we'll pick you. I said, no, I'm here. I'm only too glad to do this job for free, even if it's to put it on my resume, like where I train for Edo State. That would have been great. I said, I'm already here. I'm checked in. They said no. He said, your flight has been paid and booked. We cannot. By the time the auditors come, they must not see that you did not fly. I said, wow. I said, this honor. It was a director that came to pick me at the airport. I'll just say, yes, sir. Well done, sir. Yes, sir. Well done, sir. Yes, sir. Because those directors, small, they are powerful. I say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thought he was a driver. I didn't know he was a director. I say, wow. The kind of problem that will be created to announce you this week is going to be created. All God needed was to... You see, the Lord would have done the work with you in silence. He has solidified certain things in your life, but now he needs to set you like a city upon the hill. In order to do that, there must be crisis. And in that day, nobody with your commensurate wisdom will show up. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, say, I receive it. There is a level of influence the Lord is going to put in his church. Huh? Nations will not be able to take major steps because they will realize all the major people they need to get that job done are in church. Superior wisdom. I say superior wisdom. But you see, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. You must admit that you need help. Yeah, you may be the professional, you may be the doctor, you may be like, Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom on how to go about this matter. That's what happened to the king. And then he told everyone at home. He said he gathered them together to ask help of the Lord and out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Verse 6. And said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are not thou God in heaven? Can you see how people are psyching God? Even if God refuses to listen, but see the way you choose your words. Are you not God again? Like somebody said he wants to come and destroy your people. Like, you didn't even say anything. You are not moving. Have you abandoned your people? People will laugh at us. Say you are a crook. He said, are thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? By this statement, he mentioned that even in the unbelieving kingdoms, God was the king there. Which means whatever they say cannot stand if God does not approve it. So when they tell you and they threaten you and they tell you that, look, this next season you are going to be stuck, you will not move forward from here, tell them, my father is the CEO of that company. You are just working there. Eh? So you don't know me, but you will know me. Don't know me more than this. But if you know more than this, you will not have a job again. He said, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? And then he continued to pray. Verse 13. Go to verse 13. I would have loved to extract that prayer, but because of time. And all Judah stood where? Before the Lord. With what? Their little ones, their wives and their children. See, let me tell you something here. Please hear me. You see, when I read these kind of stories, there's a way I read them. I don't read them like a preacher. I read it like a businessman. We are faced with a crisis. And they said everybody should come. You know, sometimes when you really want to pray, you tell your children to go and sleep. Eh? You and your husband, you pray. Or sometimes you wait for your husband to even go to bed. Eh? Who said yes? Why? Did you say yes? By that she has established fact that I sleep too much. Actually, I know that she does that. She doesn't know when I pray. So, but it's okay. I give it to you. Amen. I give it to you. No worries. But you know, let me just tell you this. Now that we are talking about this now, you know, I actually feel terrible. That's just, you know, this is just me. I don't know about that. Like, I actually feel terrible when I hear a voice, like in the parlor, and she's not in the bed, and I just peep. I say, God is on our side. I don't know what you they pray for. He giveth his beloved sleep. I'll begin to tell myself all the things that will not make me feel bad. You know, so if it gives you any comfort, like I've confessed. So so but this prayer I'm talking about, it's not that type. You, your wife, your children, you will stand before God. These are prophetic blueprints on how to secure some kind of victories. Don't excuse your children and say they are too young. You are not helping them. Alright. So they stood before the Lord, and in verse 14, and upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jahel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Now, this is the most powerful thing that can happen to you in your life. When God speaks, I'm telling you. I'm not saying when you are imagining things. In those days in our CAC church, we hear, "By Lemiolu, are we?" Huh? This is what the Spirit of God is saying. In other words, sit up. When in those days in the CAC church, when a prophet, they operated more with the gift of prophecy, everybody would stand still. You won't see anybody ushering. No usher will be ushering. Eh? The moment a voice rises from our midst, sometimes, maybe just after the praise and worship, you will just hear, Malika Taina Saida. See, the tongue is still there. Now, I got to tell you, if you are sitting beside the brother who was present, you will be afraid. Because there's, you feel that vibration. If you are in sin, you have to leave that place. There was a day we were in church and somebody just raised the voice. And do you know the prophecy? He said the Lord said he wants to walk. There's a way we say it in Yoruba, but it may not. So he wants to pass through the congregation. I was looking for where to run to. Because if the Lord says he wants to pass, there's judgment. You understand? Like, it's sweeter in Yoruba, you know, but just forget it. Like, the Lord said he wants to walk through our midst. I was a child, though, but somewhere in my head, like, I don't know if he's passing here or there. Let me leave the main road for him. So, it won't be good that while he's passing, something bad happens to me. So I tried to move to the side. Though I didn't really see what happened, though. The person said the Lord will pass, but I didn't really notice anything. But that's what the guy said. So there's a holy fear that comes with the Lord speaking. What did the Lord say? Say, thus saith the Lord. Give me that scripture. Now, I thought that the Lord will speak deep mysteries. I was really expecting God to speak, oh, I'm speaking from the throne room, the among the celestial and the cherubims and all those things. Well, God did not say that. Look how God said. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of what? This great multitude, for the battle is not yours. So this now explains why God did not bother to tell them that there was battle coming. The guy went to quarrel that you did not tell us. They've almost surrounded us, and God did not see anything. God had tidied up everything. God knew what he was going to do. Do you know there are battles that are designed to expire by themselves? You don't need to do anything about it. Sometimes the only thing to do is to ignore it. The Lord said, do not be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. So the Lord admitted that they were great and that they were a large number. But the Lord said, this battle is not yours. It's mine. So it's been a while I fought. Let's stretch our hands a bit. So God wanted to show them what it meant if God wanted to fight. You know, the God of, he's also the God of war. Tomorrow, go down against them. This is the strategy. So a lot of people hear God, but they hear, my daughter, do not be afraid. But they don't wait long enough to hear the strategy. This is the strategy. God said tomorrow, what is, he said, go down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz. Excuse me. This information, was it part of the information that was given to them? So God is now giving them updated information that, forget what you heard. They are coming through the cliff of Ziz. If you are someone who is not trained to settle with God and just learn how to be there, there are details your prophecy will be lacking. Give me that scripture. He said, and you shall find them at the end of the brook. So now look at, this is the operation of the gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the gift that allows you peep, is a word, into the future. But it is not just about the information, it's about the wisdom. What that information now affords you to do, to give you the advantage of the future. It's not just, that's why you see some of these false prophets, they can tell you what you, but they can't give you the wisdom. They can't give you the wisdom. They'll tell you you're a fool. They tell, it doesn't mean anything. Because I already had the food. You understand? It doesn't matter. And you may import them to come and say, yes, Papa, yes, Papa. It doesn't make you a prophet. But this is the Lord here speaking through his prophet. And I want you to appreciate that this is the prophetic ministry in demonstration. And this is God giving that scripture, giving them the detail about the route those guys were taking. And he said, you will find them before the brook of Jeruel. Go ahead to verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but I want you to set yourselves. The word set is very significant. Huh? Please stay with me. The word set yourself, that means don't stay on this scripture, please. Don't stand carelessly. Huh? Set yourself. Does this remind you of the book of Habakkuk? I will stand upon my watch and set myself to see what he will say to me. So the moment the Lord says, set yourself, what he was telling them was, go on your watchtower. Go into your prayer channel. Go into your prayer closet. Go into your prayer cave. Set yourself spiritually. Don't assume that because I said you will not fight, you don't need to set yourself. Please, are you with me now? Some people heard, I will defend you, I will fight you, I will deliver your mom. But they didn't hear the part, set yourself. This is, setting yourself is your response of faith. You are agreeing with heaven that this thing is going to happen. And God says, set yourself. Give me that scripture. It says, set yourself. Stand ye still. Does this stand ye still remind you of anything? Paul was teaching us and he said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You see, all the revelation of Paul are from the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
Don't mind people who say that Paul was drinking shekpe and he said some things. You know. He says, stand ye still and you will what? You will see the salvation of the Lord. How many of you really need God to come through for you in this season? Like, majorly, you really need God to come through for you. Give me that scripture. He said, stand ye still and you will see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah. The word Judah there is praise. And Jerusalem means what? There's one song we used to sing by one secular musician. Thank God I'm forgetting them now. It's a very old. Those ones even sound Christianly compared to the ones we even listen to now. Alright? It's a city of peace. Alright? So give me my scripture. Fear not. Look at the word fear not coming up again. This is one of the primary reasons most people fail before they start. Please hear me clearly now. Some of you think it's the devil. That's the brother you are dealing with there. Fear. You want to write an exam? I was trying to write a certification exam 3 weeks ago. So I was alone at home. I don't know, for whatever reason, something pushed me to click start. There's one start button. You know, I promised myself I will rest because I've been fatigued the day before. And I woke up 4 a.m. So I just told myself, now that I'm alone at home, let me take 2 hours. I just picked up my MacBook and I just clicked start. The moment the thing, I just saw 3, 2, 1. When I saw the first question, that was when I realized I was in trouble. I just said, in this use case scenario, my brain first flew. I realized it's been a while I looked at this. My brain just flew away. Pew. In an organization where you find this, blah, 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 blah. So explain the theory. I see. Say you have failed. I knew I failed. I didn't see it coming. I started praying. It's between B and C. See, it was supposed to be like a 1 hour exam. It felt like 10 hours. Sincerely, I'm a trainer. I sweated. I was sitting under the fan. I was scared. Like, okay, yeah, so what if you fail? No, like, with my money now, I fail. Like, but I realized that fear is an innate emotion that is real. Fear can cripple you. Somebody's about to get married. The wedding is next tomorrow. She starts sweating in her palms, like, she watches one film on Nollywood where the guy died 6 hours. He was coming for the wedding. He died, and I say, hey, now why did I even turn on my YouTube and on TV? And you know, the devil just begin to arrange it. Are you your sister? Cause are you sure? You know, I really don't like people from Oafia. Are you sure you really want to marry this guy? Do you really know who he is? Do you really know? This guy looks like a flirt. Do you really know who he is? You said he used to be a professional boxer. People just begin to raise accusations. They are not telling you to leave him. You just notice that after you walk away from them, their voices are loud in your head. You see, they were not going to lose. God kept emphasizing fear, because even though they will not be required to fight, this is how they will lose the battle. Which means that there were enchantments of fear being launched against them. You just wake up and you've prepared, and you get to the interview, you know, room, and all that. You just start sweating. The interviewer can tell you, he say, please calm down. They start telling you to calm down, but you've lost it. You say, what's your name? You start stammering. Come on, say, I reject fear. When I finished that exam, you know, you are supposed to submit and get your result immediately. The thing started buffering. Ha! I almost died. You know, your screen, you just see that thing just going. And just say, please wait, don't touch your screen. I felt like taking water, but I couldn't go to the kitchen. Like before you go and come, your failure is waiting for you. Let me just wait and fail here now. The thing went for like 3 minutes. Hey, I've never been so threatened. I just saw a pop-up. Pop! I just saw green. You see, when I saw green, I saw a mark. I did not wait to read the thing. I just put on my Netflix. Ah! Kilode! Ah! Kilode, at my age, somebody will now be threatening me. Which film did I watch last? I started looking for... Ah! But see, that is shaking me. I have to be honest with you. I don't want to behave like I knew I would pass. I was glad that they told me I passed. I was glad. You see, fear is a kind of emotion. If you don't prepare for it, it will mess you up. And God kept telling them, put out that scripture. He said, do not fear. The problem with God is that he doesn't show up when you want him to show you. He just takes his time. He could stop over for a cup of tea, stop branch to see Abraham, then stop over to see Elisha. But he's coming to Nigeria. He was going to destroy Sodom, but he branched to greet Abraham. Eat. You know, you will not believe God will eat, but God actually took his time. He's like, with this work we are going for, we have to eat. God ate. When I read the scripture, I'm always amazed at the kind of person. It's not when people get here, they will be shocked. When I tell them that is God, they will be shocked. They will die of heart attack because they can't believe that is God. Like, this is not my idea of who you are. God was going to destroy a whole nation. He stopped at somebody's house to eat. And I tell a person, when I leave here, I want to go and kill some people. Like, so when God was telling them, he said, fear not. It's because God already saw that even though they were fasting, Shate Messiah, brethren, let us pray. Brethren, let us pray. Rabba Savare. Maybe they are already behind you. Ikabalabasa. You are looking for your children. Stay beside me. Stay beside me. Let me be. Hey, you, come and stay. Let me. Yeah, they were praying, but God could see the thing written all over them. Give me that scripture. And the Lord said, do not be afraid. He said, do not be dismayed. He said, tomorrow. Say tomorrow. Go out against them. Show up in that meeting. They have gathered to embarrass you. Show up ready. Dress up. Don't dress like today is your last day. Dress in a way to let them know they will miss you. Put my scripture back up then. He said, go up against them. For the Lord will be what? Will be with you. Next verse, quickly. What did Jehoshaphat do? The moment I'm interested in this verse, the 18th verse, the moment he received this prophetic word, Jehoshaphat entered into a worship mode. He did not say, I'm the king. You know, there are some. If many people know who God is, they won't mess around him. He's a king that makes other kings lose their status. You think you're a king? The Bible says, in the congregation of the gods, he is God. When gods gather in the heavenly, they call him God. They don't call themselves gods. That's how powerful he is. He didn't kneel. He bowed his head in response to a prophetic word. In one of our places, when they give a prophetic word, they just say, give it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You received that word? Which generation are you from? Say, they are millennials. Say, okay. They are Gen Zs. Where will they come from? When we receive a word like that, you will hear, when you are here, when you are here, people will now enter worship mode. When you are here, you see them dropping on their knees, worshiping God. That's how powerful a prophetic word is. God's word, and the thing with the word of God is that when it comes out of his mouth, it doesn't go back. That's how powerful it is. That word will become an entity in the spirit. It will become an entity in the spirit. Going in the direction of your destiny. Never to come back until that task is accomplished. Yes, yeah. God's word cannot come back and say, I missed the address. Yeah. Give me that scripture. Jehoshaphat bowed. You see, these are prophetic postures. You humble yourself. You humble yourself before God. I know you like to kneel and worship God in your room, but this is a public display of worship. He bowed his head and his face to the ground. The moment he did it, every other person in the nation followed suit. We must learn the corporate culture of worship. Next verse. We must learn the corporate culture of worship. The moment they moved into this phase, what happens? The Levites stepped in, and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, they stood up. They didn't kneel. They stood up with their singing instruments. Can you see the order of worship? You see, you cannot say, "Oh, my children, go and pray." Then you are, no. There is a particular order. There is a particular, yes, it's good for you to have family devotion, but you as a father must represent your family before God. Yeah. Don't say, actually, in this family, me, I'm the person that I am more of a word person. My wife is more of a prayer person. My brother, you are playing with fire. When you stand before God, you cannot expect your wife to be praying more than you. Now, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You are not the head of the family because you are dropping change. You must stand before the Lord because those children are bearing your name. Yes, they are your lineage. They flow from you. Yes, God was going to judge someone and say, "Because of your father, I will not judge you." Yes. You know what that means? That means there's a way I can stand before the Lord and God will extend mercy to my children. Yes, sir. Don't be careless. The moment Jehoshaphat bowed before the Lord and the Israel, the Levites, the sons of Refi, they stood. And they stood up to praise the Lord. Can you see? The God of Israel. With what kind of voice? With a loud voice. That means the voice was so loud, if you were somewhere in the distance, you would hear them. Verse 20. And they rose up early in the morning. Come on, say early. These are the things I look at when I read the Bible, because it helps me know how those who approached God in those days, how they did it. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Just follow what they did. Yes, he said they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. There are times the Lord will require you to get up early and go seemingly, in quote and unquote, into a wilderness. You go without your phone. If you have time during the week, call the admin people in church. Tell them, "I want to come here for 3 days. Come during the week. Collect the church key. 8 a.m. resume here. Close 5 p.m. That's a full day's job, right? Come to the church. When you enter, lock this door and begin to pray. 5 p.m. go back home and sleep. Next day, come back. When you come, turn off your internet. Nobody's looking for you. This internet has been on since 1845. You didn't benefit you in any way. Leave the thing alone. New seasons don't happen they don't just break open like that. There was a prophetic word. There was a prophetic response in worship. But look how they did this. They isolated themselves into the wilderness of Tekoa. This place, there's no network. No internet network. Only God is here. Give me that scripture. And as they went forth, the king stood up, Jehoshaphat, and he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." That statement came out of revelation. It came in his moment of worship. When that prophetic word came out, he could have decided to be careless with it. He could have decided, "Oh, that was the way Pastor Winger prophesied somewhere last Sunday." He could have been casual. But he needed to put the hearts of the people in the right place. And he said to them, "Look, God has spoken. If we believe him, we'll be established." But you see, there are two levels. There's establishment. There's what? There's prosperity. You may be established in a land and you are poor. Yes, you may have a house there, 3-bedroom flat. Or like my favorite style, 2-bedroom. You may have 2-bedroom, which is a testimony. But what God wants for you is to expand to the left and expand to the right. You can decide, you get to that point in Abraham Maslow's theory of hierarchical needs, you self-actualize. You can come into a place like Mende and say, look, I want to see all the children here who cannot go to the university. And say, look, God has raised me to be a blessing to you. And you train, take 50 people, take 5 people, take 10 people. It's not because you don't know what to do with your money. It's because you are spiritually smart. And let me tell you, you don't start that one when you get to the top. You learn it now. Yeah. Say, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. Can you see that the idea of praise is about the person, the character, the nature, the holiness of God? It's not entertainment. People don't know how holy God is. People don't know. If you won't mess around him. I don't have a problem with the song. Please hear me. It's just the attitude the song suggests. Because I've seen people strip naked and they were dancing to that. Alright? It's not the song that is the problem. The song itself, has a very good meaning. But, you know, typical of Nigerians, we have a way of going too far. Amen. If you reverence God in your life and in your heart, he will defend you. Yes. Not just on your lips. The way you worship him, do you really mean it or you are just singing? Because singing is not worship. Singing is a way we express our worship. Said as they went out before the army, they began to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. That was the song. Blessed be the Lord, for his mercies endureth forever. I was listening to a pastor online, and the guy said, he decided to do, you know, test something. He picked up the scriptures and he would recite the Lord's Prayer like 100 times all through the night. 100 times. He said he did not expect what happened to him. He said the heavens literally opened over him. Like he just opened the Bible and he will, in a like a reciter mode, he would just be reciting it. And when it's done, once he reads it once, he will tick. And then he will continue again. It's a black young prophet in America. He's not popular, but he's solid. So you would find that even now among the Israelites, this phrase is very popular with them when they exercise their religious, you know, right. You hear things like, blessed be the Lord, for his mercies endureth forever. So regardless of your qualifications or whatever it is you have done, it is the mercy of the Lord that has prevented us from being consumed. I mean, when I was at the hospital and I really literally thought, I've been close to death a few times, and most of the times I got tired of praying. I love to pray. I'm a prayer person, but there's just this phase you can get into and you are tired. And I was tired. And I made peace with the fact that we will not live forever. And the Lord came and he said, your covenant with death has been abolished. He said it. He said, did I not tell you? But when he told me that word 2 weeks ago, I thought he was giving me the message for the next service. Don't make it about you. Just settle down so you can hear God clearly. And they began, in verse 22, they began to sing praises, to sing and to praise. Look at verse 22. I'm interested here. They began to sing and they began to praise. What did the Lord do? The Lord set traps.
The Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Look at the three groups that came against one small nation. While they were praising, "For you are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
You are good and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
You are good and your mercy is forever. Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
Jehovah,
you are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are the most high. Now we are going to sing that song one more time, but this is the instruction. As we sing this song now, you are going to. Now, I don't know, this may apply more to people in business or people in the corporate space. I want you to seek God now, beginning to bring clients to you. I don't know how you can interpret this. So let me put it this way. God will bring the people you need. You see, as they began to sing, the Lord began to set ambushments. The Lord went ahead of them to set traps. There is one client that will come into your life. Your company will be forced to make you the youngest DGM or general manager. Somebody was sacked in my office when I was working at Oshoni Bank, manager of a branch in the north. I won't mention the state. And this person was the one managing the account of one big Hausa man in the north. But because they are taking over the bank, you know, Eco Bank and all, so they had to lay off some people. And this man was affected. And he was actually sacked. Then the man just went home, and then that big man called him. I have one transaction. He says, "I've been fired." Say, "No, they can't fire you.
Come on.
They can't fire you." Say, "No, it happened last week." Say, "Where are you?" Say, "I'm at home." Say, "Don't worry, they will call you." The man just wrote an instruction: liquidate all my investments in billions. And in those days, we also used to have dollar investments, fixed deposit in dollar, treasury bills, liquidate my current account, move it to the bank with a Z. The moment they saw the way the instructions were coming in, through email, they called him. Say, Alaji. The man said, no, don't, man. I'm done with your bank. Say, the new MD called the man to beg. Say, sir, is there a problem? He said, the reason I'm in your bank is no more there. The reason why I've stayed in your bank is no more there. Say, who offended you? I say, you offended me. Do you know Mr. Mukhtar? He say, yes, the branch manager. Yeah, it's no more with us. He say, what do you mean by it's no more with you? You sacked him. That's why my money is going. Sir, we'll call him back. He said, you mean with promotion? They wrote the man a letter, took it to his house with DHL. Say you are here, your annual leave is hereby cancelled, and I didn't go and leave, you fired me. But that's the bank's official language. They will tell you, welcome back from your leave. Which bank has ever written anybody a letter? Has the organization ever written you to say welcome back from your vacation? Even if I say you are working for a moment, you went on leave, came back, there was work waiting. Who gave you letter? Say, oh, you rested, hope you rested well. The man was fired, came back with, he got an apology letter and a welcome letter. Welcome back. Listen to me. There are many of you that have been trying to enter into the new seasons of your life with effort. Listen, as we begin to praise God now, the Lord will set ambushments. I wish somebody heard me right now. I said that you will listen. As we are singing now, you will take that your business and it over to God from today. He is now the senior partner. You are the junior partner. Listen to me. Some of you have never done business to the tune of 100 million. Within the space of 3 months. Oh my God. I'm prophesying to 2 people here. I just prophesied now. Listen, don't worry if your faith can handle it. Don't worry, just stay where your faith is. I said, the Lord will make people. They will reach out to you online, reach out to you, call your number, and they will say, just come, just come, just come, just come. So when you praise God now, in your mind, begin to see the Lord go ahead of you to set ambushment. Are you ready? Please do this for yourself. Be selfish for 5 minutes. Are you ready? You are good and your mercy is forever. 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 You are good and your mercy is forever.
Jehovah, 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 you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High.
Jehovah, you are so good.
You are the Most High God. You are the Most High.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sincerely,
let me bring you the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord now to you, he said, say, for it has pleased the Holy Ghost not to lay any further burden upon you. So when you get back home, oh, thank you, Lord. It has pleased the Holy Ghost. It has pleased him not to lay any burden on you. Hallelujah. 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 The burdens are gone. SC is changed to AA. AC is changed to AA. Hallelujah. For the word of Lord, I say, for I will make you of quick understanding. Therefore, you are receiving a boost in your mental capacity. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 For this is the word of the Lord to you. He say you must abstain from fornication. Say you must abstain from fornication.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say you must abstain. The matter of your destiny is a serious one. That's where Satan is holding some people. It's holding them there. Ali Marobo Sitaya. Play low, play low. I'm hearing something. Listen. If at some point in your life there was an issue that happened, and you are taken somewhere, and the blood of animals was used to provide some kind of, is it propitiation? What do you call that? Like a kind of sacrifice. Because I'm hearing the strangling of blood, the strangling of animals, and the use of animal blood. And even though you have come to Christ, But this is a legal doorway that has been opened. And the Lord is addressing it this morning. He said there is no burden. There is no other burden placed on you. Listen to me carefully. You know, they do these things and then all of a sudden you now recover. You start becoming well. But this is animal blood. You know, 2 weeks ago I was talking to us from the book of Hebrews about sacrifices being done year after year, and now that the Lord said it was not sufficient to cover the sins of men. But the principle of sacrifice is legitimate, it's legal. Listen. That incision was a blood covenant. That incision in that odd area was a blood covenant. They didn't restore your mind. They only kept it somewhere. But today, no further burden is laid on you. I prophesy no further burden. If all right. There is somebody in this place, you received some time ago, you received a gift. And when you received that gift, it was an harmless gift. But you noticed that for a while, you could not really sleep well. Something was wrong in your environment. That thing happened briefly after you received that gift. You see, many times it is your good nature that people they prey on. They know you are open-minded, so they take advantage of your goodness and they strike in the form of gifts and seeming nice gestures. This particular gift specifically is a box of perfume. And it was a gift. You didn't need to use it 3 times. The requirement was for you to use it just once. Even if you didn't use it on yourself, but you inhaled it, that the deed was done. I didn't say you went and you bought it. I said it was a gift. And I don't care. I don't care who it is that gave it that gift. It could have been your mom. I'm not even going to exonerate her. Do you know that everybody has a particular aura that they exude? Yes. You see some people, you just notice, they come in, people start laughing. Some people, people just start fighting, they are quarreling. They are not saying anything, you know. They just came. It's a family meeting. But when they packed, under 20 minutes, somebody stepped on somebody. They are bringers of trouble. So the arrangement of the enemy was for the atmosphere around you to be contaminated, so that even though you are qualified, you will always be rejected.
But today that is over. And you will see a very clear sign. Because some of you receive gifts, you are not even aware you are the one I'm talking to. Please, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make living a life of praise and gratitude the normal thing in your life. Because God deserves the glory. You know, when I don't know if it was later about the application from is it Connecticut or someone country, one state, Delaware? Was it who I was talking to? That I said somebody sent me a CV. See, keep growing. Huh? A time will come. Everybody will be forced to admit you are the best. Don't allow negative words or suggestions hinder you from giving your best. Your name is the one on that certificate. See, when I was in the bank, I was in the bank for 12 years. At some point, I don't know, for those of you who have worked in the bank, you can get to a point, you just know you are stuck. You just know you are, it's like, we are going every day, but we are stuck. Bankers, there's just this sense in which I knew I was stuck. I knew that my role was not supposed to be in operations, and I knew it was supposed to be something more in strategic thinking, planning. And but you know, when I applied to the HR department in my bank, you know what they said to me, sir? They said, working in HR is not by interest, it's by selection. We are the one that will call you. It's a calling. I said, no problem. The day I was leaving, they used everything to beg me. I refused. Okay, so we got this role. You are going to be overseeing about 400 branches. I say, me. I don't pass that level. They were shocked. 400 branches. Head office unit. Okay, we'll do it without your boss approval. I say, okay, sorry, do you have any personal issue with your boss? I say, it's a fantastic Edo boy. I don't... The only thing I know about it is that anytime something enters his body, you just see, when the thing don't enter his body, he doesn't know. Meanwhile, he'll be warning us, don't speak your native language in this office. When the thing enter him, when he sees the query or the, you say, Osanobuao. I'll just be laughing. He never see anything. They begged me. I declined. But you know, somewhere in my heart, I just knew, you just know you are made for more. Yeah. I wanted to be in a place where I could literally help people. So somebody from Delaware in the US just sent me a long message on LinkedIn. When I looked at the profile of this person, even me, I never go school, reach that level. Like me, I'm aspiring. Those are things I would like to have. Somebody has worked with Morgan, is it Morgan Stanley? What do you call it? Like Morgan Stanley, like, if they give Morgan Stanley, I will just hand over the church to Tina. I'll go and collect dollars. Then come and buy land for church. Avina, just make sure the church is still there when I come back. And the person just said, sir, I need a job. Me, I'm looking for a U.S. visa. You are already in the U.S. You are a citizen. For whatever reason you thought, I was so touched. I had to reply her. I said, we don't have any role for now. I said, but your CV is fantastic. I will definitely keep you in mind if there's a remote role. And she responded. You know the funny thing? You may be so gifted. Nobody will see you. I moved from
that phase where I was battling and struggling, and to a point that somebody would reach out to me and say, help me. So now, my prayer point is, Lord, make me able to help. I don't, not just the desire. Make me able to help. Not because I have, but because you have put it there. To be greatly helped by God. If you want to be great, that is what you are asking for. That means you want to help people. You want to give people money. Help them, develop themselves, both in naira, dollar, pounds, euro. Yes. Once you get to that point, they almost know they have found a candidate. They will, even will give you money. Listen, after those guys praise the Lord, and I'm fascinated with the story of Paul and Silas, who were chained in the dungeon, and they began to praise God. They didn't expect what happened next. But do you know, when these guys praise God and the Levites raised a loud song, and I hope you know that this, their sound had an attitude. It had an attitude. They were not trying to praise God as if they are hiding. They knew the worst case scenario was that they were going to die. But they would not keep their mouth shut. And they raised their voice. The moment they did that, God moved. Don't hide anymore. Come out. Come out of your hiding. Don't let Satan take your voice. Enter the realm of reckless praise and worship. Covenant with God with your praise. Listen, there are many of you here that are going to be great. Great on very high supersonic levels. You can't see it, but the Lord has told me. So I don't relate with any of you based on who you are today. There was a time in this church. There were only two titers. Myself and my wife. Then later, a third person. And later, a fourth person. Set the standard. Set the bar. Through the quality of your praise. It can happen now. You can't do anything about it. But God can move now. So get out of the way. Let God do his thing. What did I say? Get out of the way. Let God move. Because there are some of you standing here. 3 months from now. Your testimony will be scary. One of my brothers, not biological, he reached out to me, so, and he's been stuck. You know, he works in Europe, and he just reached out to me. He's done everything, and he couldn't get a job, you know. And he reached out to me, and I just chatted with him. We just chatted and chatted. At the end of the day, I now told him, okay, let's pray. So I told him what he needed to do, but I said, let's pray. That job is still the job he's doing till now. Do you understand? A prophetic word can open doors. Don't be naive. A prophetic word can open doors. It's not your door. It's God that will open it. And today I prophesy. The doors are open over you. And over your family. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I release everyone in this place to the realm that is called plenty. Amen. I release you into the realm that is called plenty. Amen. Listen to me. There are some. Please pay attention to what I'm about to say. I was talking to the pastors this morning, and I said there's a wisdom that will be given to us. I said some of us here, you'll be in a meeting in your office, and somebody will just ask a question, and God will just inspire you. You will say something, and that will be your ticket out of that place. Like Joseph said something, and they took him to the throne. Please, I want you to keep what I'm saying. So the wisdom that supersedes, receive now.
Amen.
The wisdom that supersedes, receive it now.
Amen.
The wisdom that supersedes, receive it now.
Amen.
Receive it now.
Amen.
Kings will come to your light.
Amen.
Queens will come to the brightness of your coming. People of influence will take shade under you. You will be the solution they are looking for. You will be the solution they are looking for. I come against the spirit of poverty to break right now. Over your mind, let it break right now. Let your creativity come to a new level. In the name of Jesus. If you believe, put your hands together and bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The counsels of the Lord are sure. And nobody can share his glory. So as you live here, don't be small in your mind again. Don't be small. Those 12 spies, 10 of them said we were small in their eyes. As you are living here today, don't be small in your own sight. Don't be small in your mind, and don't talk small again. Don't believe you can't get a job that will pay you $4,000 in this thing. Don't, if they say, who else? With who else? It's you now.
Amen.
Don't say, hey, maybe, hey, it's you. Don't be small again. That thinking is what is making people perceive that aura around you. Don't think small. Your life is not finished. Don't. When you live here, a king is walking out of this place. So kings can decree,
yes,
and doors open.
Yes.
So you are going to change your tongue. You are going to change the things you are saying. And believe me, your words are seeds.
Amen.
God will honor them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you believe this morning?
Yes.
Give God praise and magnify.
Amen.